Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux Crazy Podcast. This is podcast number 81. Today, I have an interview for you. I've been promising one, and I have put together what I think is a very interesting person for an interview. But before we get to that, here's the Linux Crazy public announcement.
How will free change the world? Come find out at the Ohio Linux Fest 2010, Saturday, September 11th, and Sunday, September 12th, including a special early bird and medical track on Friday the 10th. Register now for the festival and optional OLFU courses at ohiolinux.org. And thanks for listening to Linux Crazy.
All right. If you're in the area, go ahead and check out the Ohio Linux Fest. Today, I'm pleased to introduce to all of you Mona, a.k.a. Gentoo Apologidon. I met Mona after she placed third in the 2010 Gentoo Screenshot Contest. I was so impressed with her Linux skills, I just had to get her to tell us how she did it. Hi, Mona. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, David.
Okay, Mona, I'm just dying to know, who is Mona?
I'm 35, computer hobbyist from Munich, Germany. Currently, I work as a secretary in a lawyer's office. Some time ago, I've also worked at the computer help desk in a law firm.
Why don't you work at the help desk anymore?
Well, the company's IT department was restructured and I found myself jobless. So I started working as a secretary again, which is my profession.
What has your journey been like with Linux, and how did it start?
I first tried out SUSE Linux 6 in 1999. I didn't like it and gave up on Linux. In 2001, I tried Mandrake 7 and decided to keep it. Coming from Windows, it was a totally new experience, but a much better one. No bloat, no viruses. That impressed me.
What motivated you to become involved in open source projects and become a Gentoo user?
Well, I was fascinated by the principles of open source software and the community behind it. It was cool to be able to share and even modify software if one wanted to. I became a Gentoo user first in 2002 because there was some real big hype around Gentoo, you know, and I was simply curious and tested it out.
Could you describe your experience with Gentoo?
Sure. For me, it was a way to gain more Linux knowledge. I loved experimenting with all its possibilities. It has helped me preparing for the LPIC 1 certification, which I made in 2004.
Ah, so you've been using Gentoo for about 8 years now?
No, unfortunately not. My first episode with Gentoo ended in 2005, when I managed to destroy my installation. I had no backup and was too lazy to recompile everything with my 800 MHz laptop. That was the time when Ubuntu came out. But in the end, I finally switched back again and have kept it since. And nowadays, I have a working backup setup.
What aspects of Gentoo do you feel the developers and the maintainers have got right?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm too much of a user to be able to answer this question.
What is it about Gentoo you would like to see improved?
I guess that would be the speed of the portage database. When I try to update Word, why does it take more than a minute on a fast computer only to see what would be installed? Then I would love to see more publicity for Gentoo. And I believe Gentoo needs more manpower, I mean more developers and more maintainers. And I really miss the weekly newsletter.
What are some of the projects within Gentoo that you would consider contributing to?
Well, when I think about it, I could imagine working over the documentation or doing some translations.
Have you met any other women using Gentoo, or Linux for that matter?
I know there are some female users, but I haven't made anyone yet.
For people that have never used XFCE, the window manager, please give us an overview.
XFCE is somewhat like a little GNOME desktop for me. It's a lightweight GTK Plus based and full-featured desktop environment. But I hate one thing. They haven't enough developers, thus the progress in development is really slow.
Describe some of your favorite applications.
Clawsmail. It's one of the apps I can't live without, but I hate its antique interface. But it's a nice lightweight mail client and has a nice plugin system. Compass is also a must-have for me.
What are some of the first things you set up after a new install?
It's always the same. Compass, Clawsmail, GIMP, the SVN version of the GTK Marine engine, and some lightweight programs like AbbeyWord, PCManFM, and DeadBeef.
What are some programs you'd like to check out one day?
The next version of XFCE.
Mona, have you done any programming?
Well, I have tried with Java and C, but I'm not too good with these things, or maybe I was too impatient to learn it. But I like writing Bash scripts.
What are you currently working on, studying or learning?
I try to learn Russian.
Which open source programs would you like to see developed?
I still miss a lightweight music player with a similar look and feel like VX Music.
What resources have you found most helpful when troubleshooting problems within Gentoo and Linux in general?
The usual resources like documentations, forums, news groups, and so on.
What would be your dream job?
My dream job, that would be a Linux admin, not only at home.
What can users do to improve Gentoo, or their favorite program for that matter?
Submit bug reports or learn to develop.
What are the specs of your current boxes?
Currently I have a Lenovo ThinkPad T61 and a ThinkPad Center M55 workstation. Both are Gentoo boxes. And the ThinkCenter is my compile and backup station.
Describe your home network.
Just those two boxes plus two Ubuntu laptops of my boyfriend.
What gives you the most enjoyment within the open source community?
Well, when you have a problem, the most people are helpful. And I guess most people in a community are nerdy like me, so I feel at home in a community.
Hey, how did you come up with the nick Gentoo Apologetan?
All other nicks were already taken. Being the only Gentoo user in a crowd of Windows and Ubuntu users, I sometimes feel a bit like an apologist for Gentoo.
All right, Mona. Hey, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to do this little interview. We got to know each other pretty well, being able to send emails back and forth. And I just want to let everyone know that Mona is the type of person would be really cool to hang out with. The only problem is for me is that we're just way too far apart from each other. But we can still hang out and send emails, and hopefully I'll try to get her on IRC chat, or I'm trying to get her more involved with Gentoo. So, again, thank you very much, Mona. when I was working out the logistics to do this interview with Mona, I really wanted to call her on the telephone, or she could call me. And what I do is I record it with my Asterisk server. And then once I get it recorded, then I will go ahead and edit it and so forth. But that would just didn't work out, being she's so far away from me and our time zones was completely different. So what we did was, I really wanted to do the interview, so what we did was that she recorded the answers to the questions, and then I went ahead and put the questions, edited the questions in. So that's why the interview might sound a little, different maybe. But anyhow, that's what happened. So I was a little bit concerned if anybody's been following my podcast and my adventures with Pulse Audio and recording and editing with Audacity and some of the trials and tribulations that I've gone through. You could understand my concern. But this new setup that I have with the USB mixer, using headphones connected to that instead of using my sound card, has worked out really well. Evidently, Audacity works a lot better with this USB sound card than it does with my sound card in the PCI slot. For whatever reason, I'm not exactly sure. It might be that Pulse Audio, while it's using this one device, it works better just using this one device than switching between devices. I don't know whatever the reason is, but right now it's working fine. I had to do a lot of editing because she had all her questions. There was 24 different questions. So what I had to do was I converted each question into, she sent me an AUG format. So what I did was I converted each question into Audacity file format. What that does is when you're copying and pasting all these different files, it keeps them all uniform. And it seems to me, I've noticed that it keeps the pitch and everything even. I've had problems before if I just wanted to paste an Audacity file and a AUG file or MP3 file or a WAV file. I don't know, for some reason maybe the pitch would change or something. So this works out real well. So I converted all of her answers to Audacity file format, and then I recorded all of the questions and converted them to, well, they were, when I recorded the questions, they're already in the Audacity file format because I used Audacity to record them. So once that was done, then it was just a matter of plugging, you know, the question in with the answer. So there was a lot, like I said, there was a lot of editing, and it worked fantastic. Audacity didn't even flinch. It's happened to me before, you can imagine, with 24 different questions. Let's just say you get down to 23 and something happens and it crashes, or what would happen before with the Pulse Audio was I couldn't hear. It wouldn't play the file, so I couldn't hear it. So how are you going to edit it when you can't hear it? So, so anyhow, it worked out fine. So what else has been going on in my little Linux Gen 2 world? Continuing to be busy with the trustees. I take care of a couple of the web pages for them. After we have our meetings, we have some motions or whatnot, or maybe some guideline pages that need to be created. And I go ahead and I put them together. You know, it's funny, when I first got started with Linux, one of the biggest things that amazed me was people that put together websites. So one of the first things I did when I found that I was able to do it with Linux and open source was I installed a little Apache web server and started playing around with HTML and CSS and putting together my own little website. And It's still there today. It's dwabbott.com. It's running here right out of the closet here. It doubles now as my Asterisk server and as a little FTP server here for my home network. But you can still see the site, and that's the box has still been going for a pretty long time now. I don't know how many years. It's been a while. Maybe this particular box, maybe 6 or 7 years. It's people that use Gen 2, they'll tell you to make sure you upgrade and all that. Well, I've neglected that box, that's for sure. I do put in some of the security fixes, but it's a very bare bone box. All it has is Apache, MySQL. I don't have any. I don't even use any PHP scripts or anything on it. I just have a static web page, and it's mainly my Asterisk server, and like I said, that FTP. But the FTP is not open up to the internet. It's just here for my intra little home network here. It's not open up to SSH. The only port that's open up is 80, and then a few of the Asterisk ports. But I haven't updated it in probably 4 or 5 years. It just sits there and runs. Like I said, I have patched a few files as far as Apache or something that's a security risk or something. But other than that, I just leave it alone. I wouldn't even be able to update it now. I would have to do a reinstall. It's been sitting there for such a long time. But it just keeps plugging away. The Asterisk, I've been getting bombarded with registration attempts. So I use my little DDWart router and basically just drop. I'm not very sophisticated about it. I'm sure there's an easier way, but I just find the IP address that somebody's trying to register with, and I just go ahead and drop them with IP tables. With the within the DDWart router, you can make your own little firewall IP tables commands, and I just, once I see their IP address, I just drop them. And right now, it's been about a week or two that I haven't gotten hit. But what happens when I do get hit, it keeps trying to register and it keeps, you know, saying no, because, I've only have one peer here, and that's this IP phone here by my desk, and it's already registered, and it's got a really complicated password. So no one would be able to really register anyhow. But what it does was it just kills my bandwidth, because they're keep registering, Asterisk keep telling them no, and it just floods the logs, but it just jams up the bandwidth. My bandwidth here is pretty good download speed. I have regular DSL. It's supposedly, really super high speed, but it's really not. It's DSL. It's not, it's nothing fiber or anything like that. So once they're hitting on it, my download speeds are pretty good, but my upload speeds are bad. And what happens is, even when I'm uploading like one of these podcasts to my website, linuxcrazy.com, that hosts the podcast, I mean, it just, everything else comes to a ceasing halt. It just locks up all the bandwidth. So what else has been going on? My little Gen 2 development stuff I've been doing is I've been testing for x86. I, help out a little bit there. I'm continuing to learn. It's amazing the learning curve of learning all of this stuff, when you don't have a background in IT. Mike, I've mentioned before, my background is actually, I'm a golf course superintendent. And I basically got really involved in learning Linux about 8, maybe 10 years ago. So it's taken me that long. I guess I'm a slow learner, or maybe it's that I'm just gotten older and my mind doesn't absorb all the information as well as it used to. But I'm learning, and I see progress. I see a lot of progress, but it just moves so slow. And so I'm still going on Bash. I'm still learning Python. I enjoy both of those. And along with the Bash and the Python, everything else, now you got sed, you got awk, you got grep, you got cut, you got, a whole lot of other stuff that's thrown in there to learn along the way. So it's definitely interesting, and it's a fantastic hobby. It keeps me busy. It's almost like an escape for me. I get here and I get on IRC and I start fooling around with the bugs and I start doing this and that. And I don't even watch TV anymore. I very rarely watch. My brother will call me and say, hey, there's a game on TV. You should watch it. And I say, oh, okay. And I'll turn it on, and I won't even hardly pay attention to it. So, all right, I think I've rambled on enough. I wanted to add to the podcast length a little bit because the interview was a little short, and I hope I explained the reason why. I would have loved to chit-chatted with Mona a little more. Maybe I can talk her into it the next time. So, all right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I'll see you for podcast number 82. All right, bye-bye.